mouth.
Word of 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 mouth. Word of mouth.
This is Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Virginia Prescott. Coming up, stirring the pot of ambition, power, and tyranny in an updated staging of Macbeth. We'll talk to the play's director and the actor charged with injecting one of Shakespeare's most iconic characters with some 21st century attitude. And a highly interactive Word of Mouth Facebooker brings back some highlights from South by Southwest Interactive Festival. Here's one headline: We are all cyborgs. But first, closer to the ground, concerns in a small New Hampshire town, namely Jew Pond, a local landmark with a decidedly un-PC name. Comedian Louis C.K. pondered the sometimes descriptor, sometimes slur in his 2010 Comedy Central stand-up special.
Jew is a funny word because it is, because Jew is the only word that is the polite thing to call a group of people and the slur for the same group. Most groups have a good and a bad. There is the same word, just with a little stank on it, and it becomes a terrible thing to call the person. Because you could say, he's a Jew, it's fine. He's a Jew. Like, that's all it takes?
But the fine line has become a tall fence between folks in Mount Vernon. The most anticipated item at town meeting this week was deciding whether or not Jew Pond, the name given to a small body of water on a federal map, should be renamed. Darren Garnick is a freelance journalist and filmmaker from neighboring Amherst, New Hampshire. He wrote about the debate for The Atlantic in an article called On Jew Pond, A New Hampshire Town Debates an Historic Name. Darren, great to have you back on Word of Mouth.
Thanks for having me.
The story attracted a lot of national media. Your article in The Atlantic, of course, it was on the Huffington Post. But the pond in question may not draw so much attention if you were driving past it. Describe this landmark called Jew Pond.
It's a mud puddle. I mean, it's a quarter acre size. A couple people will skate on it in the winter, but it's only about 5 feet deep, so nobody swims in it. It's really, like I said, it's a mud puddle, and kids fish in it once a year. They stock it with trout for a fishing derby. Other than that, a lot of people just don't even notice it. They call it the pond on the way to the dump.
And that was all changed a couple of months ago, I guess, when somebody, a town surveyor, noticed that it was called?
Well, actually, 2 years ago, they had to shut the pond down. The town health officer shut it down because of an overgrowth of toxic algae. And only then in the headlines did it say Jew Pond needed to be Jew Pond shut down. Nobody had known the official government name for it.
But they'd known the colloquial name. That's what people called it around town?
No, people just called it the pond or Carlton Pond. There's no sign up at the pond, so there's a lot of confusion. But the history is very fascinating. In the 1920s, Mount Vernon was a huge tourist destination. There were all these resorts and spas, and people from the big cities would come in by train and to get fresh mountain air. And the biggest hotel was called the Grand Hotel, and that had this pond on it. And the Grand Hotel in the 1920s actually banned Jewish guests. And strangely enough, in 1927, the hotel was sold to two Jewish businessmen who wanted to open it up to everybody, make it Jewish-friendly, make it open to everybody. And the locals started to sarcastically refer to the pond as Jew Pond, as in that's where the Jews swim, or that's where the Jews cool off.
Well, David Brooks of the Nashua Telegraph did much to break the story, and he tells the story of these two brothers, Meyer and Nyman Kolodny, if I'm pronouncing that right. He's also featured in a short documentary film by resident Caitlin Dobbs, and we have links to see that at our website. He spoke to one of the sons of these Boston lawyers. What did he remember about vacationing in New England?
So I tracked down Ed Kolodny, who's the son of Meyer, one of the lawyers who bought the property. And Ed is now a prominent neurologist at New York University Hospital. And he said his father was a man of few words, didn't really talk much about the old days. But so he didn't know the history of Jew Pond. But he said he had very vivid memories of his father planning the family vacation every year and having difficulty finding a cottage that would take a Jewish family.
Wow. Wow. Well, when the issue first came up, people in Mount Vernon formed some close Facebook pages where some heated views were expressed. Now, I understand you got to look at some of these discussions. What was the tenor of the discussion?
there was a real nasty tone on Facebook. There's a closed forum for Mount Vernon residents only that I was able to get access to, and real nasty conversation. I'd say there's about 15 to 20 people in town that ferociously wanted to keep the name DuPont, and it's hard to say how many people actually wanted to do it for hateful reasons. The biggest reason was, this is our town. How dare outsiders, anybody who lives outside of Mount Vernon, tell us what to do? So it almost became this, it took a life on its own. Like, no matter what anybody else says, screw them. We're going to make our own decision. And it was almost comical at points because Senator Kelly Ayotte,
yes,
had sent a letter supporting the name of, supporting the name change.
Yeah.
And what happened on this forum was, if Senator Ayotte wants to share her opinion, maybe she should buy some property in town, and then she has a right to express her opinion.
Whoa, them's fighting words. Well, so at there was a town meeting on Tuesday night. What happened?
So the town voted 104-33 to change the name of DuPont, and I believe that represents the town rejecting a badge of prejudice that was inherited, placed on them against, you know, not intentionally. And I think the town has sent a clear message that we're rejecting the prejudice of the past.
Well, you know, this is hardly unique to New Hampshire towns, of course. You know, I know that you came across some choice names for other communities in small rural America. And, you know, so if you grow up next to Negro Creek Park in Wyoming, for example, there's nothing else to compare it to. What it's just how things are. So is this a larger story here about the way racism and prejudice thrives in parts of rural America?
Well, I think it does. I mean, it's an important part of our past. And we all, you know, we all hear our grandparents say some ridiculous ethnic slur. And we say, oh, my God, how could they actually say that? But that's the culture they were raised in. And that's the culture of the 1920s. And so I believe that this does tell an important part of our past. And these type of debates are very instrumental in teaching us about our history. I was watching Celebrity Apprentice the other night, and George Takei, the Star Trek guy,
mm-hmm,
Mr. Sulu,
yes,
he was talking about how he grew up in a Japanese internment camp, and that's like, whoa, you know, that's bizarre to think about that.
In his lifetime.
And you're thinking, you know, so when you marginalize a population, when you say there's, you know, that Jews aren't allowed at your hotel, that's really a few hops and skips away from isolating a population and confining them. There's not that many steps between what happened to George Takei and, say, rejecting black people from going to hotels down south, for example.
Mm-hmm. Our Jews here in
New Hampshire.
Well, Darren, it is a fascinating thing. Thanks so much for writing about it, and I appreciate you coming in today.
Thank you.
Darren Garnick, freelance writer and filmmaker. Now, he let us know about this article on our Facebook page at Word of Mouth Radio. For a link to his piece for The Atlantic about Mount Vernon's debate over DuPont, you can visit wordofmouthradio.org. Now, there you're also going to find a link to Brady Carlson. He interviewed the filmmaker Caitlin Dobbs, who made a short documentary about this issue. And also Cheryl Rich Kern. She reported on the town hall meeting on Tuesday. And you can actually hear some of those people making their arguments. For the record, while the town did vote for a name change for the pond, no new name has yet been chosen, according to Darren. There's a debate still brewing there. So you'll just have to keep following the story with us, and we'll let you know how it turns out.